In the middle of this also because my buddy Kelly wants me to give a radio spot, which I'm not used to doing as well. So this is going to be a new one for me and a first for me as well. But I'm glad that everyone is here. I look out in the faces. We love coming here. This is one of our, I could use bad grammar and say funner, but this is one of our more fun Sundays to come and just get to be with y'all. Just get to come down here and just hang out, worship the God we love together, and be able to share in communion, and then here in a minute, share in a meal together. Yes, I know the meal. Yes. But, you know, it is fantastic to be here. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 8, because we're going to be looking at Romans 8. Starting in verse 12. And just to read it, Romans 8, 12 through 17, as you're turning there. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by that we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Romans 8, starting in verse 1, is one of my favorite passages of all the passages, of everything that Paul has written. Romans 8, in my Bible, is one that I have marked, is the one I can turn to and just gives me hope. And the reason this one passage, verses 12 through 17, gives me so much hope, and as we're standing here today, and as we're sitting here, and as we're about to do as we join in a meal, is this passage in Romans 8, Paul is referring to us as adopted sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Which Paul is saying, we are all family. It doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter anything else. Paul is writing this and saying, I want you to understand that we are family.
Right.
And the thing about family is so interesting. I actually have mine here today. I have my wife and my daughter, and actually my mom and dad here as well. So this is also another first for me, having my mom and dad here hearing me preach. So I'm going to try not to embarrass myself or them. But, you know, we look at this passage, and family is such an interesting thing. You know, we all come from a family.
That's right.
We really do. And families are interesting in so many ways. Families come in all shapes. They come in all sizes. They come with all the different attitudes that family comes with. If you're like me, you may have a crazy aunt or a crazy uncle. You know, that one family member that for some reason you've known him forever, but they can't remember your name. The one family member who just you just adore seeing, and you look forward to seeing so much. Family is just family.
Right.
You share a name with them. You share a heritage with them. You share just about every part of you with them. We come from family. And family is what Paul is talking about here in Romans 8. When he gets down to verse 12, Paul is speaking to a church that is, I wouldn't say it's in turmoil, but it's a church that's struggling a little bit. He's talking to the Roman church, and this Roman church is mixed with Jewish Christians. It's mixed with Gentile Christians. It is mixed with these two groups. And to understand these two groups, Paul is trying to write to them and tell them something about this importance of family and community, and this importance of getting along, and almost he is giving a basic theology of community together. And he's looking at this church and saying, okay, guys, understand where you come from.
Right.
Understand that you are family together. Understand that you've got to get along, because when you look at each other, you are whoa. Okay. I'm sorry. That I didn't know. Now Kelly really impresses me. He's on TV. I'm not even on TV. I gotta get my good side. I'm sorry, that cracks me up. But as Paul is writing here, he is giving this theology of community, and he is looking at the Jewish Christians and saying, guys, I understand that you have a concept of family. You can look through the Old Testament and see that the Jews had a concept of family. But he's talking to the Jews and he's saying, look, guys, I know you have an understanding of this, but you're not going to have the right to push out your Gentile brothers and sisters.
Right.
You're not going to have that right. You're going to understand that you're all the same.
Right.
And that you're all family. And we see that within the vocabulary. We see that within the narrative that Paul uses here. And so we start out with Romans. And we start out with this beautiful passage in Romans 1 and 2. This beautiful passage as he starts it out, as he's getting ready to talk to this group about what type of family you're going to be a part of. And he starts out Romans 1 and says, Romans 8, 1, and says, There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Paul opens up this part of his letter by reminding where our obligation and where our loyalty lies. There is therefore now no condemnation with those that are in Christ Jesus. As he's talking to the families, he's talking to the community, your brothers and sisters, you don't have that right to push them to the side. In fact, they have. Christ doesn't look at them there is no condemnation against them. So why would you think that you have that right? And so Paul opens up Romans 8 with this beautiful passage and says, within this family, there is no fear. Within this family, there is no slavery. There is no being held to the sinful nature. Within this family, we will lift you up and give you a new life. As John writes in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Within this community is not just life. It is a rich life. It is a full life. It is a, in other passages, an abundant life. Our obligation is to Him. And Paul begins this passage with this idea as he's getting ready to set up and say, I'm about to tell you who's going to be a part of the family, but understand your obligation. Understand what you're supposed to be doing. Here we go. We would like to ask our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloads of hundreds of songs and sermons. That'll do all right? Yeah. If we look at verse 15 as we're going on, Paul begins to get into this family. And as you look at verse 15 through verse 17, he begins to talk about a transformation that is entered into. And he uses words like sonship. He uses words like adoption. To the Roman Christian, this is powerful.
Right.
To hear this word as Paul is talking and says, you have received sonship. You have received adoption. To the Jewish Christian, they would have heard it and said, okay. To the Gentile, to the Roman, it would have been, I think I know where you're going with this now, Paul. I think I understand what you're saying. Because to the Roman citizen, adoption was a heavy thing. To adopt somebody within the Roman culture was even so much further than adoption as we know it. Adoption in the Roman culture was, from that point on, that person took on the last name of that family. But even further than that, that person who was adopted into the family, there was no distinction between adopted and birth child. They were exactly the same. They received all the rights. They received all the privileges that came with being in that family.
That's
They received citizenship within the Roman culture. When the Roman Christians heard Paul use this word of sonship, when the Roman Christians heard Paul use this word adoption into the family, Paul was saying, you are in and you are in completely. There is no distinction between your Jewish Christian brothers and you. You are going to be the same. And the same is you all have Christ. And you all have God as your Father. And God has looked on you and said, that's my brother, that's my brother, that's my sister. And guess what? You're all a part of the same family. And as Paul says that, the Jewish Christians may have said, okay, oh, wait a minute here. But Paul is trying to say, understand the importance of this community. Understand the importance of what I'm trying to tell you here. Because when we enter into this adoption, and we are so fortunate that we get to enter into this adoption, but when we enter into this adoption, a transformation takes place. We enter into God's story. We enter into the story that we read starting in Genesis. We enter into that. It becomes our story. The Word of God becomes our heritage.
Yep.
It becomes what we are about. It becomes everything to us. We begin to start living it and understanding it and letting our Father work inside of us. Romans 12:2 says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. With this adoption, with this entering into this family, you have a resemblance that kind of takes place. I was talking about a transformation. You begin to take on the characteristics of your father. Growing up, my Nana used to always talk about, in some ways, how I look like my pawpaw. And my pawpaw is a good-looking man. And so, you know, of course I am too. But as my wife laughs. My Nana would always remind me when I would see her that I looked so much like my pawpaw. And for me, that was a big deal. I loved my pawpaw. But you know what? There are people within our families that we look alike. You've probably been told, you look like your grandfather. You look like your grandmother. You look like your aunt. You look like a cousin. All those different kinds of things. We have family resemblances. We have characteristics about us that we're kind of, that we do idiosyncrasies that we do like our family members do. And what Paul writes here as he's talking about this adoption is you're going to understand that within this adoption, within this spirit living inside of you, within this sonship that you received, you're going to take on the family resemblance.
Right.
You're going to begin to look like your father. You're going to begin to act like your father. As we enter into this adoption, as we allow this transformation to take place, as we allow the Spirit to work inside of us and make us something new, as Romans 12:2 tells us, if you're going to receive this adoption, this is later, then you're not going to conform any longer to the world.
Right.
If you're going to do that, then you are going to be like your father. You're going to be like your father when how you talk to one another. How you treat one another when you see them outside of church. You know, in church it can be a little bit easier to be nice to family because we kind of know we have to. We kind of know that people are looking out for each other. Which is what family is. We kind of know that people are watching. But we bear the Father's resemblance. We bear the family resemblance also when we walk out these doors.
Right.
When we go to the supermarket and we talk to the person who's ringing us up. When we go somewhere and we're in a line, how do we treat each other? How do we treat our wives? How do we treat our husbands? How do we treat our sons? How do we treat our daughters? How we treat the people around us. Paul says that if you're going to have this adoption inside of you, then you're going to treat each other as Christ would treat that very same person. And we know how Christ would treat that person because we've seen it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right.
We've seen how our brother Christ treats people around him. We see how Christ treats the less fortunate. We see how Christ treats the hurting. We see that there is nothing that gets in the way or there is no barrier when it comes to how Christ treats one another. And so it comes back to us. As we enter into this adoption, as we receive this adoption, Paul's talking to this Roman church and saying, since you've all received it, you all better have the resemblance of Christ. And because of that, each one of you who come to this place, each one of you who come to this community, better treat each other the same way within the community. You better look at each other with love and compassion and all of those things that we know that Christ stands for and that Christ is. We'd like to ask our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloads of hundreds of songs and sermons. So we understand this. We begin to comprehend this as Paul is writing and he's giving this almost theology of community. He's giving us this idea of what adoption is. And he closes it out with such words of, you are heirs together. You are co-heirs with Christ. Now, heirs is a word that we can understand. Heirs is a word that when we hear it, we know what that means. Christ is saying, you are heirs to the rewards of the kingdom. You are co-heirs with Christ in His life. And as Paul is writing this, he is telling a church, it is time to start getting along.
Right.
He is telling a church, it is time to start loving one another. And if we can begin to do that, if we can begin to understand this sonship and the fact that we are all heirs and there is no person better than the next person, that we all receive the same rights and the same privileges. If we can all understand that, it always comes back to, if we can get that, then we can really love one another better.
True.
Then we can really be there for each other. And in the last few months of my ministry, the last few months of the stuff that I've been trying to do as I've been studying, I continue to come back to the fact that Christ calls us to love one another. And as Paul is writing this, it comes back to Paul saying, you've got to love one another. You've got to look at the person next to you and understand that that's a brother. You've got to listen to the person next to you and understand that's a sister. And how we would treat our own brothers and sisters in our family is the exact same way, and even better, that we treat our brothers and sisters here right now. And you know what? There's something about this when I come to Main Street. I love coming to Main Street because Kelly always, you know, he always calls me Brother Russell, which it's not a term I'm used to hearing. But you know, I hear my teenagers say it. You know, Brother Brian, Brother Michael. You know, this idea of, you know, we really are family. And there's no getting around this idea. But I'm going to be honest with you real quick. It doesn't mean that you can preach about this, you can read about this, you can say amen all you want. You can get into it, but it's not going to be easy. There is nothing easy about this. Because I still struggle with looking at people sitting across from me and saying, that's my brother in Christ. I still look at people and struggle and say, I'm supposed to love that person without thinking in the back of my head, do you know what they said the other day? Yeah, Paul didn't even get into that. He doesn't. He just says, this is what it's about, community. And you've all received the adoption. You've all received you all will receive the rewards of heaven. You all will become and are part of what is an amazing family. And if you've never experienced family, then this is the place to experience it.
Right.
This is the place to experience family. And so as we look at our life, my prayer is that we can become better. My hope is that we become the best brothers and sisters we can be to each other. A quote I like is this: so live, so act, ye sons and daughters of God, that the world may say to you, yes, these men and women bring forth the fruits of God. They are like their Father. They honor His name. They are indeed filled with His grace, for their every word is as true as their oath. Their every act is sincere and upright. Their heart is kind. Their spirit is gentle. They are firm, yet they are generous. They are strict in their integrity, but they are loving in their souls. They are men and women who, like God, are full of love, but like Him are severely just. They are sternly holy. They are like Him, ready to forgive. But they can by no means tolerate iniquity, nor hear that sin should live in their presence. Ye sons and daughters of God, act as your Father would act. Treat as your Father would treat. Love as your Father would love. Ye sons and daughters of God, you are family. And I am glad of it. And it warms my heart to be able to get outside of where I live and talk to other brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And I am so gracious that God created family. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so thankful for this day. Lord, we are thankful for this morning. Lord, this morning in which we could surround the table and honor You in communion. Lord, that we could come together and sing songs, that we could come together and worship You, shake hands, show smiles, and be Your family. Lord, we pray now that we honor You in all that we do. We pray now that we honor You in all that we say. Lord, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your peace. Thank You for Your mercy. It's in Your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. If there is a need today, come forth as we stand and as we sing.
You all know this one?
Amazing grace.
Thank you, brethren. We want to thank the Grapevine congregation for all their help in this great barbecue. We've got about 20 of our members working at the fair today, so they're going to really miss out on everything. Let me tell y'all just a second before our prayer now for the prayer cards how we're going to work this outside. If you're going to leave the property, if you need to go home, and for our senior citizens that don't want to stay for the picnic, you're going to leave the property, you come and see me. I'm going to be right in front of the serving tables, and I'll get you a to-go plate, and you can take a to-go plate and go right on home. But if you're not going to leave, then sit down at a table, and the Grapevine youth will be serving you then. They'll bring your plate to you, and they'll bring your drinks to you at the table. And so just go out and sit down at the tables. As soon as we've served everybody, then if there's any barbecue left, you can take it to go play at home. If anybody's in a big hurry, I'm warning you now, I got 20 ham sandwiches that I'm going to give you, and you can take that and go home. So don't pitch no fit or you wind up with a ham sandwich, which ain't bad within itself, is it? All right, so y'all pray for me. Wasn't this wonderful? You got a break from Kelly this morning. Oh, you didn't have a long-winded sermon and all that stuff. You got a break from Kelly. All right, brother. Go get him, Mary.
All righty. As always, we take this opportunity to pray for those who have come forward requesting prayers on their behalf and on the behalf of others. Our brother Dean Kluckman comes forward and he's praying for help, especially for his eyesight. He's having some problems with his eyes, and he's asking for forgiveness of his sins. And so we want to pray that God will forgive our brother Dean, and we'll lift him up in prayer. I have a card here from Trinidad. Sandoval comes forward confessing of sins also, and praying and lifting up Mary, who is in jail right now, praying that she'll be able to come closer to God, and also to help her with her faith. Also, Brother Jerry's had an accident, hit his head. So pray that everything is well. He put his faith in God instead of the hospital. So pray that everything goes well there, and pray that Jerry won't have any complications from his head injury that he sustained while he was at his job. Also, Janie and Fred Turner come forward, and they're asking for prayers. I guess, I don't know if it's Fred or Janie's father, and also Sean, so we want to pray for the family members there and friends. Also, Felton Sims comes forward asking for good health and prosperity, and peace with all things, so we know that's only through Christ Jesus, so that's good. Pray for Felton Sims that he will achieve that. I have a friend of mine, her daughter, her name is Tajay Birdsong. She has been diagnosed. She's only 13 years old. She's been diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. They only gave her 6 months to live, so I'll be going over there this evening and praying with them. And so I pray that you will keep her in mind. Also, praying for my kids and my brother Trent, who's having health issues as well, and all of my family and friends. Teresa Fox comes forward, and she is visiting with us today, so we want to welcome her with us at the congregation, Main Street. So thank you for being here today, Teresa. Also, Juanita Lancaster as well, guest of Fred Williams. Teresa's she's with the Grapevine Church of Christ. And also, we have Dennis and Sharon Hood, and they're visiting with us from Grapevine Congregation as well. So we want to welcome all of our guests. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we approach your throne thanking you for this opportunity we have to do so. We know it's only made possible because of your love for us and because you sent your Son to this earth to be an atonement for our sins so that all of us can have the hope of everlasting life. As we approach your throne, dear Father, we pray for those who have requested prayers on their behalf. We pray for the sick. Pray, dear Father, that you will touch them, that you will heal them of their ailments. We pray for those who are fatherless, dear Father, that you will give them
the protection and the things that they stand in need of. We pray also for the widows and widowers of this world, and especially the congregation. We pray, dear Father, that you will be with them and give them the necessities of life and watch over them. We pray for our elderly and those who are in senior citizens' homes and those who are in nursing homes. We pray that you will protect them and give them the necessities that they need. We pray also for those who are homeless, and that you will put a hedge of protection over them, that you will give them the necessities that they need and be with them, dear Father. We pray for those who are in prison, incarcerated, that you will protect them while they're incarcerated, and help them to always go to you, dear Father, for their comfort and for their protection and guidance. We pray, dear Father, for those who are searching for the truth, that you will guide them to the truth. We pray for those, dear Father, who are in darkness. We pray that your servants, ourselves, will be able to reach these individuals with the word and teach them your word, dear Father, that it might deliver them from this darkness. We pray also for those who are sick on their deathbeds, those who have been diagnosed with deadly disorders and diseases. We pray, dear Father, that you will touch them and show that you still perform miracles. By faith, dear Father, we pray, dear Father, that they will believe in you and that they will be healed of whatever sicknesses they have. We thank you for all the blessings that you have answered for us in the past. We thank you for the blessings that you're answering for us right now at this present time. And we thank you for all the blessings we know that you will answer for us in the future. We ask that you forgive each and every one of us here of our sins and our shortcomings. Help us all to strive to be more like Christ Jesus every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid out, floating beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, you know, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, I do. The angels beckon me.
Let us bow. Dear gracious Lord and Master, we your children come another Lord's Day. We come approaching your mighty throne of grace with heads bowed and humble hearts, thanking you for permitting us being in the land of living, and asking you, dear Father, that we will continue to meet together as brothers and sisters in fellowship one with another. We're also asking, dear Father, as we continue to meet and do the things that you have commanded of us, help us to continue to take the gospel through this dying and perishing generation. Help us to continue to spread your word to all of those who are meeting and grouping in darkness. We pray, dear Father, as we do these things, that you will look down upon us and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We also pray, dear Father, as we do these things, that we will continue to love and care for one another as you have commanded us to do. We also pray, dear Father, that as we meet and continue to fellowship one with another, that we will be thankful for all the blessings that we receive, such as our picnic today. We also pray, dear Father, that we will continue on the radio program, reaching thousands and multitudes as you have commanded us to do. We ask that you will continue to love us and care for us, and if we have been found faithful in the final confirmation of all things, grant us a home in that up and better kingdom where we can sing praise to your high and holy name, now and forevermore. Let us all say amen.